Oh, my announcements are on the organ. I only got one announcement today, so if there's anything else, feel free to give me a shout out. This Saturday, the United Methodist Women will be meeting. They're going to be having a sale at Potluck. This is at 11 o'clock, and there's a sign-up sheet downstairs. So feel free to come to that. Okay. Well, our opening hymn is It Is Well With My Soul. And before we sing it, I would just like to read a little something about the gentleman who wrote the song. Someone gave me a book once of a bunch of old hymns that, and talks about how they came about and the stories behind them. So this was written in 1873. The gentleman's name was Horatio Spafford. I don't think anyone calls their kids Horatio anymore. Sounds like a math problem. It Is Well With My Soul is a hymn penned by hymnist Horatio Spafford. The hymn was written after traumatic events in Spafford's life. The first two were the death of his four-year-old son and the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. He had been a successful lawyer and had invested significantly in the property in the area of Chicago that was extensively damaged by the Great Fire. His business interests were further hit by the economic downturn of 1873, at which time he had planned to travel to England with his family on the SSVA Du Havre to help with D.L. Moody's upcoming evangelistic campaigns. He was good friends with D.L. Moody. In a late change of plan, he sent his family ahead while he was delayed on business concerning zoning problems following the Great Fire. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship sank rapidly after a collision with a sea vessel, and all four of his daughters died. His wife, Anna, survived and sent him the now famous telegram, "Saved Alone." Shortly afterwards, as Spafford traveled to meet his grieving wife, he was inspired to write these words as his ship passed. Near where his daughters died, oh, I'm sorry, the hymn is 377, or you can follow along on the screens. Yes, please stand.
Thank you.
Amen. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful and glorious day. We thank you for our fathers, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. And you are our ultimate Heavenly Father, one that we can look to and pray to and worship. And I would just ask, Lord, that you bless this service, bless this worship, and the fellowship afterwards. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading today is found in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. Love the Lord your God. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols under your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Thanks. This is the word of the Lord for the people. Thanks be to God. At this time, we're going to have Jenna Hodgen come forward and play a special for us. When I asked her if she would play a special for us, she, of course, said yes, and she wanted to know which song. And I said, well, whatever song she wants that she feels will honor her father. Her late, sorry, and her late grandfather, Lou Benani, who I think we all miss dearly. I'm not nervous.
You good? Thanks.
Yes. Thank you. And all God's people said, amen. That was beautiful. Thank you, Jenna. Okay, it's time for children. If we have any children today, I don't know. Let's see, maybe a couple. Claudia's going to do time also for the children. I appreciate that.
Not very many people. That's okay though. It's still good. It's good to see you guys. And of course, you know today is a special day, right? What day is it? Father's Day. That's right. So, in honor of the fathers or Father's Day, one of the things fathers are famous for is dad jokes. So I'm gonna start. You don't sound excited. I'm gonna start with a couple dad jokes just to, you know, lighten it up here. Okay. So how much does a chimney cost? Nothing. It's on the house. I got another one. Okay. I was struggling to understand how lightning works, and then it struck me. I really like dad jokes. I don't know. But anyways, So prepping for today, I was like, wow, what to talk about, right? So do you think fathers are talked about in the Bible at all? Yeah. I looked it up, and so this has to be right because it said so in Google. Father, the word father occurs 1,750 times in the Bible. So that's a lot of stuff, right? That's a lot of times. And can you think of any fathers that are talked about in the Bible? Any of them. Joseph, you mean Jesus' father? Yeah. Any others? He's the one that came to my mind first, too. There's other ones like Adam and Abraham and Noah. I mean, there's a lot of fathers, right? And they were all different, but they were similar, your fathers. I mean, they did things plus being fathers, right? They had to work. They had to struggle to support their families. And another thing they had in common with your fathers is they weren't perfect, right? Every father in the Bible is not perfect, except for one. Which, exactly. He's so good. He said God. Yes. Lesson over. So, yeah, God is perfect. And we have to remember, even, you know, because our fathers do struggle. And some live with us. Some don't live with us. Some have to work really long hours. Some get to work at home. But they're all struggling, and they're not perfect, except for God. And God is always with us and always loves us and is always there for us. So just before a closing prayer, I've got one more dad joke. Do you need to build an ark? I know a guy. Oh, I got a chuckle out of that one. Okay. So let's close in prayer here. Lord, we thank you for our fathers, whether they're flawed or whether they're perfect. And we just love them, and we know they love us. And we pray that you help them each and every day to be the best fathers they can be and the best men they can be. In Jesus' name we pray. All right. Thank you. Thanks for coming up, guys.
Thank you, Claudia. Okay, that takes us into our time of joys and concerns and prayer. Claudia has a microphone, and we had two, and Janet has a microphone as well.
I have a joy that I don't think either of them is here today, but Nancy Harar and Nancy Domke's birthdays are both today. And my sister, who passed away many years ago, was born, and her name was Nancy, was born on the 19th.
Cool. Are there any others?
I ask for your prayers for my granddaughters, Vanessa and Serena, who lost their father, Jeff, March 24th. It's a tough Father's Day for them.
Yeah, it was Vanessa and Jenna.
Vanessa and Jenna.
Vanessa and Serena.
Sabrina. Sorry.
Since Jenny isn't here today and she always has us pray for our military, let us remember those men in the military who are fathers today and cannot be home with their children.
Yes. Amen.
I just wanted to thank the congregation. I asked for prayers last Sunday for Bruce Robinson, and he passed away on Monday morning. And prayers for my daughter-in-law as she deals with the loss of her very special stepdad. Pastor Devin did a wonderful service on Friday, and the luncheon was here, and the flowers that are in front are in remembrance of Bruce Robinson. Thank you.
I went over here.
I want to say happy Father's Day and happy anniversary to us. Today is our 57th.
Whoa. Year. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Okay, I'd still like to keep Beth Eisen in our prayers for healing. Okay, let's go to the Lord with these in prayer. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. So many of us take for granted the fact that when we wake up, Dad's there. But for Ben and Sabrina, they're having to deal with their first Father's Day without him here. And we just ask that you comfort them and bring peace as much as you can to them. Lord, we also want to lift up our men, our fathers in the military who are away from their families. Keep them safe, Lord, and I'll allow them to be able to communicate with their loved ones. We pray for the young family and all his friends. From what I hear, he was an amazing stepfather and just a wonderful man. And Lord, we just ask for comfort to all those that are grieving. We thank you for the Heller's anniversary, Lord. We thank you that they're still coming here, even though they moved out of town. And dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for all the problems that we're having in the world. And we just ask that our leaders seek you, seek your wisdom, Lord, in the decisions that they make. And now, Lord, we just ask that you bless the remainder of the service. And now we pray together the prayer that you taught us, Lord, which is our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our next hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's one of my favorite hymns. It's 5. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our second reading is Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Can we bring the children back for this? I'm just kidding. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life here on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I guess I'm up. I can't promise you that I'm not going to cry, because you guys know me, but I'll try to control myself. What do you think of when you think about greeting cards? What companies do you think of that make those greeting cards? There are two companies that come to mind. American Greeting Cards and Hallmark are the two companies that are most likely the ones we think about. When we think of Hallmark, what is the phrase that we associate Hallmark with? Anybody know? Hallmark. When you care enough to send the best. How many of you actually check the cards to see if someone cared enough to send you the best? I don't think any of us do. Maybe some of us. So the origin of Father's Day, and I won't spend too much time on this, but I thought it was interesting. The celebration of Dad's special day can most likely be credited to Mrs. John B. Dodd of Washington State, who first suggested the idea of the holiday in 1909. Mrs. Dodd's father, a Civil War veteran, William Smart, was widowed when his wife died in childbirth with their sixth child. Despite the obvious hardships, Mr. Smart proceeded to raise the newborn along with his five other children by himself. It wasn't until Sonora Dodd became an adult that she realized the strength and selfishness of her father and had shown in raising his children as a single parent. The original date chosen for the holiday was June 5th, Mr. Smart's birthday. However, the celebration was postponed until June 19th, the third Sunday in June. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of a National Father's Day, but it never became official until 1966, when President Lyndon Johnson signed the presidential proclamation that set aside the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. In 1972, President Nixon made it permanent by signing a congressional resolution which called for the official recognition of Father's Day. Father's Day obviously is not as old as Mother's Day. Nevertheless, the role that fathers have in the life of their families is very important. The Bible helps us to understand that earthly fathers should live a life that resembles the traits of our Heavenly Father. So, originally, when Pastor asked me to fill in for him today, I didn't know it was going to be Father's Day, so I was actually working on something else, but then I said, do a Father's Day theme. So when I started looking up information, of course, the first thing they tell me is Mother's Day is the good one. More higher attendance and all that. And so I just thought I'd share a couple stories. My dad, who's sitting over there, would you raise your hand, Dad? He was... When we grew up, he was a state trooper from 1970 to 1996, right next door. And I remember, so our family of kids, we had one girl and four boys, opposite of pastors. And my sister was the oldest, and she was certainly the boss. She took that role on right away until we started to grow and get bigger, and then we were able to tell her that she's not the boss of us anymore. So we went to give our mother a hard time. And my dad worked afternoons for many years. He was a shift supervisor, a sergeant, a desk sergeant. And how many of you remember where your landline phones were? Most of them were in the kitchen. Ours was in the dining room with next to a little table with phone books and stuff. And so whenever my brothers and I were really giving my mom a hard time about maybe going to bed or whatever, she would just calmly get up and walk over and sit next to the telephone. And we were like, no, no, don't call him. We'll behave. We want us to go to bed. We'll go to bed. I think she did call him once, and we realized all he had to do was call a trooper, and he could be at the house within just a few minutes. So. Dr. James Dobson, a famous child psychiatrist and author of many books on families and children. He's counting. I thought Dave was trying to tell me something, but he's counting. My bad. He said that a good dad is a lot of loving and a little bit scary. And I think that's an example of that. My dad was really scary, though. But a lot of loving. Spent a lot of time with us. And then I have my kids. I have five children as well. Two girls and three boys, one of who's here now. I told you. I haven't seen him in a while. I think I see his boss more than I see him lately. He's got a job. His boss loves him. He's a hard worker. Shows up at 6 every morning. He's got to be at 5. He works at a golf course. Third year? Yeah. Well, I seen your boss yesterday, and he came up to me and he said, Nate, sometimes when there's an outing, they get these huge tips. He said, we got a crazy tip, and they divide it up amongst all the workers. He said, I told your son, you better take the $250 that you got and buy your dad some. Did he tell you that? So we'll go shopping after church. Now, a few years ago when we were doing the tent services outside, I was just getting to know Pastor and Everett and the family, and Luke was there, and the dog comes running out, Chewie. And I said, well, what's your dog's name? And they said, Chewie, Chewbacca. I says, oh, Star Wars. They said, yeah. I said, Star Wars fans. Awesome. I said, our family was Star Wars fans. In fact, we were such fans, we named our youngest son Luke. And we watch Star Wars a lot, and he's got a lot of good collectibles that Grandma's got hidden away so that Dad doesn't put them on eBay. But I remember one year, I used to do this a lot, just jokingly. We'd be around a bunch of people, and I'd say, Luke, I am your father. It's kind of corny, but it was funny. And then one year, it was Father's Day. He could not wait to give me my gift. You want to see it? He was just beaming. I am your father. Remember that? Those are some fun memories. Boy, this is going to be a short service. So we all have great memories of our dads, and one thing I like about this church is there's a lot of good fathers here, and so important. We could go on and on with all the good times and the memories that we've had, but times have changed, unfortunately, not for the better. Today we live in a society that increasingly devalues masculinity and manhood. And it would not be an exaggeration to say that today manhood is under attack and is certainly being redefined. Turn on any sitcom today and men are being portrayed as immature boys. But the fact of the matter is that manhood matters and masculinity makes a difference. Some statistics here I'm going to share with you. Next time I'll remember to have them put on the screen for everyone to see, but I've never done this before. 63% of all youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all runaways. Children are from fatherless homes. 87% of children with behavior disorders are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. And 85% of all youths in prison are from fatherless homes. These results are not only shocking, but I would say, on the other hand, they are not surprising. And they are about as politically incorrect as can be, but they do confirm what criminologists, psychologists, educators, and evangelical Christians already know, and that is this, that a father's influence is out of proportion when compared to the mocked and diminished role in Western society. I mean, all we have to do is look around at what's going on, and this is what's happening. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I have one more little short story before we close. And it's based on a true story. It's about a young man. He was about 9 or 10, maybe 11. And I forget what happened, but he became blind. And it was just a rare thing. And I mean, how horrible to have been able to see till you're about 10 or 11, and then all of a sudden nothing. Well, this sent him into severe depression. And his parents were concerned. He spent months in his room, just didn't want to do anything, didn't want to talk to anybody. And he kept encouraging, son, you got to get going. You got to make something of yourself. This is what you've been dealt. Got to move on. So finally, one day, it was springtime, and his father went to him and said, son, every year you've helped me take down the storm windows. He says, when I go to work tomorrow, I would appreciate it if you took them down like we always do. You know everyone. You know where they go in the garage, just along the wall, anywhere is fine. And his son didn't say a word. So the next morning, the father got up, got ready for work, and left. And his son could hear everything. So then his son went out. And he got the job done. He took down all the storm windows and put them away. And that was the turning point of his life. Realizing he could do something, he did it. And it was about 25 years late, doing the best I can. It was like 25 years later that he found out, after his father passed away, he found out that the day he took his windows down, his dad didn't go to work. His dad drove down the street, parked the car, and walked back. He made sure that he was never less than 3 to 5 feet away from his son to help him if he fell or in trouble. And again, I don't know what I did with it. God promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. And just like we can't see God visibly, like that son couldn't see his dad, we know God is there. He never leaves or forsakes us. We may feel like he's not there, but he's always there. And that is all I have. Amen. So let's forget anything here. Let's stand for our last song, the praise song. Good, good father. Yes, the man was a good father to his son.
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, neither tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I am. never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all our ways, you are perfect in all our ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. His love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. Loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Amen. So I'm going to take the liberty of backtracking just a minute, because what I wanted to say after I had my little spiel there about what's going on today, what are we going to do about it? We need to support our dads. We have a lot of good fathers here. They're involved in the church. They're involved with their kids. And we need to support them and pray for them. Because when they're at work and they're with their friends, people know that they attend church and that they're church folks. And let me tell you something. When you tell someone or a group of people that you're a Christian, they will watch you like a hawk. And so let's just continue to lift up our fathers. And so now, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and have mercy upon you, lift his countenance on you, and give you peace. Have a nice Father's Day. Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm.